Hi, everyone. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live on this beautiful Thursday. And we're going to take a look at practice in a moment. Interesting comments by head coach Chip Kelly. The Eagles and the quarterback position very much in focus as the rematch with the Giants just 3 days away. The Eagles still not naming a quarterback yet. We'll get into that in a moment here. Great show for you today. Donnie Jones, Eagles punter, joins us in studio, having a terrific year, averaging more than 45 yards per punt. Eagles special teams, with the exception of a return in the punt game against the Denver Broncos. Outstanding job in coverage. Still need to get the return game going, but coverage has been outstanding, and we'll see what the Eagles do against the Giants. Also, Ike Reese stops by to offer some of his analysis of this 3-4 team. And in our game plan feature, we take a look at the Giants' use of the 11 personnel. That's quite a grouping that they use with those wide receivers. Outstanding job with Cruz, with Nix, and Reuben Randall stepping up in his second NFL season. We'll look at the fantasy world with our fantasy guru, Joe Dolan, and give you an opportunity here very shortly to call us and talk Eagles and Giants and quarterbacks as this game marks the midway point of the 2013 season. Let's get you caught up first on the headlines of the day. Well, Chip Kelly talking about it. Michael Vick, a good day. That's his quote. A good day on Wednesday running around. We'll see what today brings as Vick and Matt Barkley preparing for the Giants. Nick Foles in the building today, worked out with the medical trainers with the athletic training department, will not practice today. So looking very unlikely that Foles will be ready for the Giants, but you never know. And then you wonder about the third quarterback situation and how that's going to play out for Sunday. Cornerback Bradley Fletcher on the practice field today. Eagles only four cornerbacks on this 53-man roster. So it is very, very critical that the cornerback position is well-manned against the Giants. And Ike Reese in studio, Vantage Point, takes a look at what we've got going between the Eagles and the Giants. A rivalry certainly is renewed. Michael Vick out warming up, and it really is almost a minute-by-minute vigil as we take a look at Vick and Matt Barkley on a cool day. And the weather's supposed to be cool on Sunday. Beautiful day in the forecast for the Eagles getting ready for the Giants. But, yeah, Vick making progress, and the Eagles have really been reluctant to go out of the idea of this is anything but day-to-day. Hey, Michael Vick is not yet starting on Sunday until Michael Vick starts on Sunday. That's really the truth of the matter. And you want to leap to conclusions, feel free to do so. Eagles not doing that at all. One thing we want to talk about here, Ike Reese, in studio in a moment, the overall feel. How do you bounce back from a tough loss against the Dallas Cowboys and get ready for a divisional game against the Giants, a team you beat just 3 weeks ago? How tough is that? I mean, that is not easy. I mean, this is a rivalry that forever has been marked with nastiness. The Eagles and the Giants, a turnpike separates the two, along with a bridge, a lot of nastiness in between.
He's walking to the Carmichael. He's got to go.
Week 6, 1988. First time the Eagles were on Monday Night Football in 8 years. But this was at a game that everybody in the city talked about for days. And it was exciting. Eagles and the New York Giants at the Vic.
The Eagles in 88 were really maturing into a really good team. They certainly became a great team on defense. And on offense, the offensive line wasn't that terrific and they didn't run the ball all that well. But they had a dynamic quarterback in Randall Cunningham.
One of the amazing things about Randall Cunningham was that he was like the rubber man at the height of his career. Athleticism beyond belief, great speed, amazing arm, and the ability to elude a tackler even when the tackler tackles him.
That Monday night game against the New York Giants was really kind of a coming out party, I think, for that team. Certainly a coming out party for Randall Cunningham. Because the New York Giants were a real good team. They were a very strong defensive team, a very disciplined, stout defensive team, well coached by Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick. They didn't give you much. I mean, whatever you got off the Giants, you damn well had to earn it. And in that game, the Eagles defense played really well and fought the Giants. And the game was kind of hanging there for a bit. And you kind of got the feeling that it was just waiting for one big play, for one moment, for one team to kind of take charge.
And the play that will be in the memory of all of us, was Randall Cunningham.
Randall faking, now rolling with the football and being flattened at the 10, but throwing the ball to Giles for a touchdown.
All the skill set was on full display. He rolls to his right, and it's not a love tap that Carl Banks gives him. Carl Banks chops him at his thigh. He has the wherewithal to put his hand down. The knee doesn't touch the ground.
It's almost not physically possible to bend over as much as he did and not hit the ground and bounce back up.
Now, most guys would have probably just tried to dive for two or three more yards and be happy with that it wasn't a sack. You pick up a couple. Not Randall. Pushes off the arm, steadies himself, gets back on his feet, continues to roll, and delivers an absolute bullet, perfect throw to the back of the end zone to Jimmy Giles.
I mean, it was one of those plays that when it's over, you're just picking your jaw up off your desktop. I mean, you can't believe that you just saw what you saw.
When people recall the great career of Randall Cunningham, and it was one of the most entertaining careers we've ever seen, it's usually the play they'll call up first, because no one else in football could have made that play.
...1990, Eagles and the New York Giants at the Vet.
Keith Byers and Pepper Johnson are best friends. They play together collegiately at Ohio State. They're best men in each other's weddings. Their wives are sitting next to each other during the game, okay? And Keith and Pepper, while they're at college, literally wouldn't hit each other in practice, and it drove the coaches crazy. So these are two guys that were hands off to each other because they're so close. But once you get to the NFL, it's a different story.
A lot of big plays in this game. Eagles won it easily. But the play that stands out more than any other was on a Randall Cunningham run.
Randall breaks down the right sideline, and Keith Byers has a bead on his good friend Pepper Johnson.
He was totally oblivious to a hard-charging Keith Byers, and Byers hit him with such force that the 700 level shook.
I don't know if I've ever seen a tougher hit in the National Football League, but these two guys, like two Rams, collide.
He's not laying out a punter or a kicker. He's hitting a 250-pound man and sends him airborne flying to the point where their wives were mad at each other. That's as good as it gets. That speaks to the rivalry between the Eagles and the Giants.
The memories of the Eagles and the Giants and Randall and the Keith Byers block against Pepper Johnson, which to this day elicits the same kind of response as you watch it and you just go, oh, what a hit that was. All right, on the other side, we have another veteran of this rivalry. Ike Reese joins me in studio, talks Eagles-Giants. And where do the Eagles go after that tough loss against the Cowboys? Coming up on Eagles Live in just a moment.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Ready for a little fun?
you could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Giants, round two in this 2013 season. Dave Spadaro joined by Ike Reese, former Eagles linebacker, midday host, of course, on 94 WIP and the co-host of the Game Plan Show on the Eagles Television Network. Ike, what are the people saying this week after a heartbreaker on Sunday?
Well, a lot of people are disappointed after Sunday's loss to the Dallas Cowboys, obviously. And you know, they're a little concerned about what the team really is. You know, you win two straight games against the Giants and the Buccaneers, and you know, there's all this hype about the battle for first place with the Cowboys coming in, and to lose the game in the fashion in which they lost, which we hadn't seen all year, where the offense just couldn't get anything going. It was real disheartening for this fan base. And now the fan base doesn't know how much to buy in to this team. I think prior to that Cowboys game, they were ready. You know, they were ready to buy in as far as making a possible playoff run, you know, winning this division. You go out there and you only score 3 points against one of the worst defenses in the league. Fan base is a little – they're on shaky knees right now.
But I think we all have to understand what this is. This is a team that is in the first year with Chip Kelly. It's rebuilding, trying to put the foundation in place, right? I mean, there's going to be – speed bumps like that.
No doubt about it. I mean, think about it. You know, my first year with Andy, you know, we didn't have this. We didn't get our first win until week five.
Right.
So, you know, Chip Kelly in this new regime is already ahead of schedule when you talk about being in your first year, starting to land a foundation and having building blocks. The problem is for us fans that once the season starts, we tend to forget about that and we increase our expectations. But I think the Eagles are still right on track. I mean, you come back this week and you're 4-4 and you still have a chance to win this division.
The offense needs to get back on track, Ike. And that was, as you said, the first time that the Eagles offense had been slowed to almost nothing.
Yeah.
And the Giants come in here after shutting down Adrian Peterson. They did a really good job on LeSean McCoy in the second half up in New York. So, you know, it's not going to be automatic, easy sledding. I think that was the jolt on Sunday. Wow, the defense can stop this offense. Some defense can. I didn't think it was kind of possible.
Yeah, and I think that was the reality check for a lot of us because we really hadn't seen this defense shut down in that. I mean, seen this offense shut down in that fashion the way it sort of was Sunday against the Cowboys. But with the New York Giants coming in, I think these players, especially the veterans, they know this is a divisional game. You just beat this team 3 weeks ago. That's still fresh in their mind. And quite frankly, we've had pretty good success against the Giants as a whole lately, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be looking for a little payback. So you can't take this week for granted. Each, I love when Chip says each game is its own season within itself because he's exactly right. Sunday's game against the Giants, it won't do anything to erase what happened last week, and it won't do anything to get you a W the following week. You got to take care of business this week versus this team.
What do you expect from Michael Vick should he be the quarterback? And it looks like he is on target to do that on Sunday.
You know what? I really don't know because we don't get to watch him in practice, so I don't know how healthy he's going to be. Here's the one thing I will say. You know, this perception that unless he's able to, you know, break off 20, 30, 40-yard runs, he can't be successful in this offense. You know, I don't buy into that. I think Michael, if he works the game plan, like you see here against the San Diego Chargers, through the passing game, he can still be very effective against this Giants defense. Now, he didn't have much success the first game through the air versus them. But now I believe he had a chance to see the way they're going to play the Eagles offense, and you can make adjustments. So, honestly, I expect Michael to go out there and have a good game. He steps on the field, Dave. I expect him to play well, you know, regardless of his circumstances.
It's interesting on the read option, though. Will a defensive end respect Michael's burst to the outside, or do you just crash down the line and play LeSean?
I think you still had to respect it until, until there's a play where you see there's a wide open running lane for Michael Vick, and either he doesn't take it or he takes it and doesn't go very far, very fast with the football. Until then, you have to respect that Michael Vick is 100% because the Giants just don't know. So they're going to come into the game preparing to see a 100% Michael Vick.
You believing more in the defense here? It certainly seems it's playing faster. It seems like everybody's on the same page a lot more than it had been in weeks past.
Yeah, I definitely am, Dave. I mean, it started with this game versus the Giants the first time around is where you could start to see them build a little bit of confidence. And I know Eli struggled in that game, and I know the Giants didn't have a ton of offensive weapons. But at this level, what you're looking for from as an offensive player or a defensive player, but particularly from the defense, you're looking for positive reinforcement. And that's what they were able to get out of that Giants game. It carried over into the Tampa game, and we saw it at its best against the Dallas Cowboys. I expect them to play the same exact way, playing with confidence. I think they're starting to believe in what Billy Davis and his coaches are trying to coach them up to do. And that's the most important thing, is believing in the scheme. Doesn't do a coach any good to coach you a certain way to play. You don't trust him, and you go out there and do something different. What I'm seeing is a unit playing together, particularly that front seven. It seems like everyone's fitting in the right gaps, getting off blocks, playing physical, and they're playing with confidence. So I like what I'm seeing.
I think it's a huge game. You get to 4-4. The whole rest of the season, the second half of the year, kind of sets up nice. 3-5 might be a
doesn't
little
feel more the good. Same. Yeah. And Dave, if I'd have told you before the season started, the halfway point, the Eagles may be sitting there 4-4. I think we all would have taken it.
Yeah. So I mean, a great test for the Eagles physically and certainly mentally. See how they rebound from a tough loss.
And it's the Giants, man.
Yeah.
Got to take care of the Giants.
Which is your number one rival.
Yes.
Win it for Ike. Win it for Ike. Ike Racing Studio. We thank you very much on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
The lead over the middle.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
We're about to take some live phone calls here on the show, but if you don't have a chance to call us live, call us after the show, and particularly call us on game day. I know the emotions run high on game day. We've got a feature called the Bird Phone. It's available to you. Leave your name, where you're calling from. Keep the message under 60 seconds. And who knows, maybe we'll get you on the air here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. The number to call on the Bird Phone, 215-526-6800. The number to call us now is far different than that. 215-339-6709. We're taking predictions as Eagles and Michael Vick getting ready for the New York Giants. Will Vick play? And if he does play, what kind of quarterback will he be? You guys need to know, how do you feel about the whole quarterback situation here? You want somebody to make the stand to be the quarterback of the present and the future. Has that happened in your mind? Let's find out. Dre in Miami joins us. Hey, Dre.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
Good, thanks. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, man. Tough loss last week, brother.
I have processed. I am through it. I am over it.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm on the same tip. I'm on to this week. You know, we got to take out the G-men. That's like point
That's
blank.
Right. Yeah, and getting to 4-4 would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we gotta, if we stay around 500, I mean, I think it's all going to come down to week 17 against the Cowboys anyway. if you ask me, if we hang in there, I think we could take them out and possibly take the division, you know?
What do you think this week, Dre?
I definitely think it's going to be, my estimation, 27-24 Eagles.
A nail biter at Lincoln Financial Field. Thank you very much for the phone call, Dre, as we take a look at Chip Kelly. Beautiful day here in South Philadelphia at the NovaCare Complex. A nice late fall afternoon. I guess mid-fall afternoon. And Chip wants to look. He looks like he wants to stretch it out too. Players really enjoy playing for Chip Kelly. What can I tell you? All right, let's go to Southwest Florida to talk to Gary, who joins us. Hey, Gary.
Hey, psyched up as I can be about the Giants game.
Yes. Are you lacking psyche?
I have a couple of concerns about Michael.
Okay.
First of all, if he pulls that hammy, I've seen guys lose a season with an upper hamstring.
No doubt.
And I'm just that's one of my concerns, because this guy, Michael Vick, has big heart.
Yep.
There's no way he sees a hole and he doesn't go for it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, once the juices get flowing and the instincts are there, I mean, he's going to want to take off
the
run.
Here's my prediction.
Okay.
Michael Vick slides against the Giants.
That's a bold prediction, Gary.
Well, it's a tongue-in-cheek prediction. But you could see it. Be smart.
Do you slide with that hamstring?
Well, I'm saying, you know, it's probably worse to dive, I'm guessing. But I don't know. That was just a joke, Dave. Not a good one either.
No, not a good joke. But, I mean, I think we're all, Gary, for 4 years we've been waiting for the slide. Where's the slide?
It's coming.
Yeah? Well, if it comes, I'll remember that you broke the story here, Gary.
That's funny.
Give me the break. Give me the score.
Man. Okay. I'm thinking 27-17. Birds.
Got a lot of them.
Good.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for the call. Hey, ladies, we've got an event for you on Saturday and on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. It's our Eagles Style Lounge presented by CoverGirl. On Saturday, 10 to 5. On Sunday, you need a game ticket. 10 o'clock until the end of the game at Lincoln Financial Field in the Headhouse Plaza. Shop the newest Eagles gear made just for women and tweens, featuring Nike Touch by Alyssa Milano and many more styles. Talk with Renee Reese, the wife of Ike Reese, about how to create your personal Eagles look. And complimentary CoverGirl Fanicure featuring team nail art. You'll have a great time. Come on by. It's the Eagles Style Lounge for the ladies out there on Saturday and Sunday this weekend. Beautiful weather. What a nice way to spend a Saturday afternoon. And then when you come by on Sunday, stop by the Headhouse Plaza for your Style Lounge. Michael Vick working out at practice today. We take a look at him. In the meantime, William in California gives us a call. Hey, William.
Hey, how you doing out there?
Doing fine. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Excellent. Over here loving these Eagles on the West Coast.
Thank you. Thank you for representing.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Got to do it.
All right. What's on your mind, William?
I think this week, Michael Vick and the Eagles, they're going to bring it to the Giants. I got a bet with one of my buddies at work. He's from New York, and that's all we hear is about the Giants.
Okay.
And so I think they're going to go ahead and bring it home. I want to see the defense continue to show up, and I would like to see Chip Kelly unleash whatever he has in that book. Just let it go and set the tone in the game early.
Do you think there's a – give me a score first, but do you think there's a lot of the playbook that we're not seeing?
I do. I think Chip has a lot up his sleeve, but he's trying to, you know, unleash it gradually. But I think he has a lot more to show. I believe in Chip Kelly.
I do, too.
With that being said, I think the score is probably going to be, I say, 32-17 equals.
Hey, William, thanks for calling, man.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, you got it. And I know that all these Eagles fans in New York, all these Eagles fans around the country are hearing it from Giants fans who all of a sudden, after one win, are feeling like they've got something to play for this year. And, you know, the reality is the Giants know that they are in the mix still in this NFC East. I mean, it will take quite a bit, but the Giants are only 3 games back. I understand. A lot of games in the division still. Cowboys have a tough game on the road. Redskins have a tough game against Denver. You never know. Eagles win this game. Cowboys lose this game. Eagles back in first place in the NFC East. Anthony in Connecticut joins us. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing, Dave?
Great. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Good, good. Thanks for having me. I called a few weeks ago, and I think we can definitely win this game. And I think, honestly, I've always had faith in Michael Vick. I think he's been, regardless of his age, he's always legitimately given us the best shot to win. Nick Foles has shown some flashes. He's hurt. But at the end of the day, I feel comfortable with Vick. That's just my personal opinion for whatever it's worth. I called last week and said, you know, they never use this double tight end set. We don't see a lot of these tight ends. We don't even change our formation a lot of the times. And I feel like defenses are just basically figuring us out. I agree with the last caller that, you know, they don't, you know, they man up the wide receivers and, you know, play McCoy and Vick. And if Vick's not in, they just play McCoy.
Yep. I mean,
that to me explains the game last week.
No, I don't know about that. I mean, I thought, did you not think there were wide receivers who were open?
Yeah, I think everyone could have done a better job, but I think our offensive line did a nice job blocking, and I think that, you know, when the focal point is right on McCoy and he's the only one with a threat, I think it kind of, you know, makes us a little vanilla.
Yeah, hey, Anthony, real quick, I'll respond to your points. Give me a prediction first.
17-32, Birds.
That's fine. You and William are right there. I will say this, and thanks for the phone call. I don't think that this is a predictable offense. It's only going to be predictable when there's nobody open, there's no opportunities. I thought the run game got bottled up last week. I know Shady wasn't happy with his job. Offensive line was so-so. I mean, to me last week it was on the players, every one of them. Ultimately that means it's on the coaches, but I just didn't think that the Eagles threw the ball particularly well, caught the ball particularly well, blocked particularly well, or ran particularly well. I don't think it was a matter of people figuring out the offense. Now, obviously, if it happens over a period of a couple games, three games, then you wonder. But this is an offense that has scored 30-plus points and has scored 30-plus points, I think, in every game but two, correct? And in those two games, the Eagles turned the ball over five times against Kansas City, and then they play the game they played on Sunday against the Cowboys. So if I'm going to judge this thing as a whole, my whole instinct would say the offense is really, really productive. The execution is lacking. The red zone offense needs to be better. But the scheme, I don't see that predictability. I really don't. And, I mean, we all watch it. It's players, there's a lot of guys open. There were a lot of wide receivers open on Sunday. Plays just were not made. All right, when we return, we talk some special teams, specifically the punt game. Donnie Jones, a veteran in the NFL, having a very fine season with the Philadelphia Eagles, his first year here. How's he enjoying it? We talk to Donnie Jones on the other side here on Eagles Live.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. Guaranteed, with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more. Let's get it. Let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
It's time to talk a little special teams. Dave Spadaro joined by punter Donnie Jones, who's had just a terrific first seven games of your Eagles career. I am very impressed. Are you impressed with Donnie Jones? Speak of yourself in the third person. Please.
Yeah, I feel that I've played well. And, you know, there's always room for improvement and ways to get better. But, yeah, I definitely think it was a good start.
Has there been a lot of variance in your career, Donnie? It seems to last this long in the NFL, you've got to kick at a remarkably consistent level.
Yeah, I feel you definitely have to be very consistent. And also, I think the timing of, you know, certain situations has to kind of be on your side. You know, I look back over the course of my career, and there's probably a couple times that, you know, I could have been out of the league easily. And, you know, hey, timing just kind of went my way.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, but you have to play well. I mean, ultimately, that's number one. And, you know, if you want to have success in the league.
What is the level of pressure? I know you've done it enough that you probably don't feel it anymore, but you're on the sidelines, you're staying loose, you get the call. What is it like to stand there for that? It's going to be 6 seconds that's going to make or break your day.
Yeah, it's definitely a pressure-filled situation. I know myself and John and Alex were talking just last week that it'd be interesting to put one of these kind of I don't know if it's like a Google cam or something or like a camera on your helmet. And so the fans can see what it's like to stand back there, catch a snap, and then, of course, have to, you know, execute a punt or field goal, whatever. But, you know, you stay focused and, you know, on the sideline. And a lot of times I don't even watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John's over there. He's throwing me snaps. I'm kind of mentally preparing for, you know, when I have to go in. And you always stay ready because you never know if you're going to get nine punts or you're going to get one.
Yeah.
But, you know, whenever you go out there, you want to make the most of each opportunity.
If we were to put a camera on your helmet, what would we see? I mean, great job last week against the Cowboys. Too many punts. I know you would have rather had zero punts and nine
right.
touchdowns, but terrific job. Just great direction. We'll get into that in a moment. But what would we see if we put a camera on your shoulder pads? Fury. We would see fury.
Well, you probably wouldn't see too much of me. I guess you'd see the you know, the other guys coming to attempt to block it.
Which you don't see, I imagine.
You know, I'm very. There was a movie, it was a baseball movie, and I can't think of it, but they showed the pitcher. He was so zoned in to, you know, where he was throwing, that he didn't see anything else. And there's actually time, you know, when I get out there in the game, you know, I'm so focused on seeing the ball, you know, into my hands and then seeing it off my foot that I don't really notice anything around me, nor do I hear anything. And it's weird. It's for that, you know, 2 seconds it takes us to execute that play, I kind of go deaf. And then as soon as the ball's gone, then you hear everything again. So, you know, but it happens so quick, and you always got to be prepared.
Does your strategy change with every kick? I'm sure there are sometimes, obviously, when Dave Phipp tells you to your directional kicking to the right sideline, left sideline, booming it, pooching it. I mean, there's many different options.
Yeah, we you know, his philosophy from, you know, day one was, hey, we're going to go out and punt. You give us your best ball, and we're going to cover it. You know, now there's also situations in the game when you're facing certain guys where, you know, we call it kind of the change-up punt. And, you know, for us, it's doing the rugby punt, or the Aussie rules punt. And, you know, we got into the second quarter of the game. And the way the wind was blowing, it was gusting at times, kind of coming hard from left to right. So, you know, I went up to him and I said, hey, I think, you know, the way to be most consistent in this situation is to hit that punt. It's going to fall right over there by the right sideline. It's not going to be as far. And it'll give our guys a little more time to get down there and cover it. And, you know, they've done an outstanding job all year. You know, John's an excellent snapper. You know, it takes 11. It's not just, you know, one person. You know, and it's 11 guys playing together collectively. And, you know, I think we've done an outstanding job, and, you know, we can still get better.
What are important numbers to you? What are important stats?
You know, we look at, you know, the way Coach Phipp does it is he kind of breaks down our field punts and our punts going in. So he never really computes an average based on, you know, both of those, because you're trying to do two different things in each of those situations. So if we're going in, you know, we want it inside the 10-yard line. If we're backed up, we want a 40-yard net. Okay, so and that's basically how he judges it, you know, and that's the big thing to him is, you know, the net, obviously, and drive start. again, is huge.
One big return, I think, this year, right?
We had one against Tampa. But other than that, I mean, I think, you know, that was the one slip-up we had.
It's been like negative yardage, I think. So
it's been great, and that's a testament to, you know, to the guys. And we work hard, man, all week. You know, it starts in the meeting room, and Coach Phipp and Coach Harper do an outstanding job of getting everybody prepared. And, you know, then it's up to the players to go out and execute on Sundays. And I feel that, you know, like I said, I feel we've done a lot in seven games, and I think we can continue to get better, improve, and, you know, really be an asset for this football team.
How is Lincoln Financial Field from a wind standpoint?
It was really windy Sunday, and, you know, that's one thing that I've, you know, for the last 6 years, you know, I've played indoors. But, you know, so it's something where you just kind of have to get accustomed to, you know, hold on to the ball a little bit longer, you know, kind of adjust into the situation. But, you know, still it's, you know, it's a matter of me going out and executing. And no matter what the wind is, you know, you can still go out and hit good punts.
Donnie, on that 40-yard return that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had, of course an interview with a punter would be not an interview with a punter if we didn't talk about your athletic ability.
Oh, man.
And as a football player, and you laid out the kick return, man, an impressive punt return, man, you an impressive tackle. Did you gain some street cred in the locker room?
Yeah, some of the guys told me good tackle.
That's nice.
Of course, I don't like having to make them, nor do I. Would I say I'm a great tackler? Fortunately, I was able to kind of plant one direction and then grab onto him and bring him to the ground. But I was joking with the guys, the movie Angels in the Outfield, where Christopher Lloyd was an angel and he kind of helped the guy catch the home run ball. I felt something or somebody must have given me a push because I thought for a second there he was gone. But you know, I was able to bring him to the ground and, you know, save a touchdown.
There was some ESPN highlight. I saw some kicker this week, some punter.
Yeah, McAfee, Pat McAfee.
McAfee with the Colts.
Yeah.
Just destroyed the return.
He did.
All the punters get on the punting hotline and go, hey, man, great tackle?
I think a lot of the guys were like, yeah, well, he only weighed 160 pounds.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Or Trinan Holiday, too,
so
right?
So I had one of those when I was in Miami, and Roscoe Parrish was returning for Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I had a bad punt, really bad. So I better make the tackle, but that was back when they did the jacked up. I don't know if – I think it was ESPN or they did the – you know, he got jacked up. Well, they said both of us got jacked up because we both – you know, I was seeing stars, but we both hit the ground pretty hard. But he was a small guy, so.
Does it hurt to get to tackle somebody in the NFL? I mean, I've never done it.
Yeah, for us, yeah. I mean, when you're not hitting all the time.
It's on my bucket list, but I've never done
it. We kind of – last year we played Monday night and I tackled Welker, and I made a comment about not being a football player. What I was trying to say was basically we're not hitting every day.
Yeah.
So when you do have to tackle or take a shot, you know, I think it has a little more effect on you than a guy that's always hitting. So, but yeah, I like to kick it, let the other guys cover, and hopefully, you know, if I kick a good punt, we should be okay and be able to cover it, and I don't have to make the tackle.
Well, here's a toast to the next 9 games, 45-yard nets, 0 tackles.
I like it.
For Donnie Jones.
I'll take it, man.
Thanks, man. Good luck on Sunday against the New York Giants. Donnie Jones in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Ugh. Why does she pack these things? I ate one by accident last time. And we won. It's good luck. But it tastes like a dirty old tree branch. What the heck is Quino? But this is for first place.
What is that, a loofah?
It's a Quino.
Bud Light, for the fans who do whatever it takes.
It's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
You're home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
Today, many hospitals seem to claim they're the best in their areas. But in this region, it's nearly impossible to match the experience of the physicians and nurses of Jefferson Hospital for Neuroscience. With specialized critical care units and advanced technology, it's the region's only hospital totally dedicated to neurosurgery and neurology.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
It is time for your Amoroso's On the Menu recipe. Now, for week 8, we've got a delicious meal for you. By the way, you have an opportunity to vote for your favorite recipe of the month in our contest section on PhiladelphiaEagles.com in the fan zone. You vote, you win, you get a trip in 2014 to the NovaCare Complex and the Amoroso's Combine. Today, we've got the press coverage. Now, I think the Eagles are going to show you some press coverage on Sunday when these New York Giants come to town. But in the meantime, as you're tailgating, as you're setting up your lunch, as you're getting ready for this Eagles-Giants game, check out the press coverage. Now, this recipe covers 4 sandwiches. It's got some Deaton Watson buffalo chicken. It's got some blue cheese crumbles. Oh, yeah. It's got some tomatoes, some blue cheese dressing in there, and, of course, the Amoroso's Italian rolls that make it all so delicious. That is a good-looking sandwich that I'm going to dig into in just one moment. We take your phone calls, 215-339-6709. But first, our pre-snap read. We take a look at the trench war. The Eagles, the Giants, doesn't get any better than that. All those memories of the Michael Strahans, the Reggie Whites, the battles with John Runyon, the battles with those Giants offensive linemen. Great stuff. It won't be any different on Sunday as Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell explore.
94 down, 51 white. White 20. White 27.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Week 8 edition of Pre-Snap Read, where we go inside the trends in the National Football League through the All-22 coaching tape. I'm Adam Kaplan. He's NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell. And Greg, here we are almost at the midway point. And one of the trends that I find very interesting is the development of these athletic, fast defensive linemen. And they're starting to disrupt, as we saw with the Eagles defensive line against Dallas, those offensive linemen. Greg, you're seeing size, width, and speed from these defensive linemen.
Yeah, and for years, and I remember talking to coaches years ago at the owners' meetings, and we'd always talk about the biggest mismatch on the field was the offensive line versus defensive line, and now linebackers, and now even secondary people because of all these pressure schemes. So that's one that, to me, is the biggest mismatch on an NFL field week in and week out, and it's why you have to have a way to combat this as an offense, because you can't just ask your offensive line to pass protect 5 guys and be successful snap after snap after snap.
Yeah, no question about that. And obviously with the blitz packers and so forth. But then when you look at these defensive linemen, Fletcher Cox, for instance, you don't see defensive linemen move like him. He moves almost like a tight end. You just don't see that. And that is, I think, the difference between today's NFL maybe 15 to 20 years ago.
Yeah, and now you're getting linebackers too, 250, who can really move. These are guys who played running back in high school, and they just bulk up, and they become 250-pound defensive ends or linebackers. But I think where this ultimately leads is really a transition into the quarterback position, which might seem odd, but think of it this way. Great quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and we know the list. It's Peyton Manning, it's Tom Brady, it's Drew Brees, it's Aaron Rodgers, who for the most part, even though he can move, is more of a pocket player. These guys are so good before the snap of the ball, knowing where to throw the ball, that they can win before the snap, okay? The ball comes out quick. A lot of times the pass rush doesn't get there. There aren't a lot of those guys, though.
No, that's the problem now, because what we see is a guy like Eli Manning, 2-time Super Bowl winner, very good quarterback. However, you saw in the first matchup, when Eli cannot step into those throws, it affects the downfield passing.
Yeah, and theoretically, you could make the argument that that kind of offense is a little bit old school in the NFL, working off run action, deeper drops, relying on your offensive line to protect so your receivers can get down the field, because the depth of the quarterback's drop has to sync up with the depth of the receiver's routes. The deeper the drop, the deeper the routes the receivers run. So if there's not that many kinds of quarterbacks like Peyton Manning, Breeze, Brady, those guys, and if defenses are getting quicker and faster and offensive lines can't handle them, this is why we now see sort of the evolution of the quarterback that can move. And you wonder as we go forward if teams and organizations will somewhat sacrifice what they think might be great pocket passing. And I don't know the answer to this right now, but if they'll sacrifice great pocket passing for a quarterback who can move and escape and extend plays, because not that many quarterbacks are there that can win before the snap or early in the down. The later in the down you get, 3, 4, 5 seconds into a play, you need your quarterback's movement and ability to extend to help you out.
No, there's no question. It's such a key now. If you have a quarterback, you can only see the rush, can evade the rush, and you know what? When a play breaks down, we saw it by Michael Vick in the first game. It's that third long where the running back, you know, doesn't make the play. The only guy who's left is the quarterback. He could run for 35 yards. That completely demoralizes the defense.
Right. So the question becomes is, what level passer do you ultimately need for your quarterback to be a quality NFL quarterback? A Russell Wilson, who no one thought, no matter what Seattle might say now, who very few thought, I should say, would be a quality NFL starter because of his height and because of his ability to play from the pocket, is really developing into a very good NFL quarterback. Now, he can throw it really, really well. That's often overlooked with Russell Wilson. Yes, he can move, but he can throw it really, really well. You know, what's of a Johnny Manziel? We see him run around in college and make a lot of plays. How will he throw it in the NFL? Can you be a high-level NFL quarterback without being able to throw it well from the pocket?
And that's going to be a dilemma, as we always see with these running quarterbacks. All right, for Greg Cosell, I'm Adam Kaplan. Stay tuned for more at PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
34 down, 51 white. White 20! White 20!
Good stuff from Greg and from Adam. Thank you very much for that. Reminder, we will have Michael Vick at the podium live for you at about 150, 155 once practice is over. And we'll get you updated on what Michael's health situation is. So make sure you tune in for that once Eagles Live is complete. Bill in California joins us on the telephone. Bill, welcome to the show.
Dave, good morning.
Good morning to you.
It's not morning where you are.
Yes, good afternoon.
You know, I got up Sunday morning.
Slide, Michael, slide, 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 Michael, slide. No, not yet.
I couldn't eat breakfast.
Yes.
How could the Eagles, the offensive line, the running backs, Chip Kelly's game plan, how could they not get up for the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, I think I disagree. I think the Eagles were up for it. They just played a bad game. I mean, I think they were up for it. I thought the effort was there. I thought they played physical.
There was no effort there.
Sure, there
was.
They
weren't blocking.
Sure,
they had the ball 7 or 8 times. It didn't even move. It got a couple first downs.
Bill, that give credit to the Cowboys, and the Eagles had a very poor execution game.
Then what would have happened had the Cowboys had their full array of players? You know, I mean, if DeMarcus Ware was there, how many times would Foles have gotten sacked?
Bill, I cannot answer these questions. I don't know. We'll see next time when they play in late December. Get over it, Bill. The game's over, my man. We're all disappointed.
I know. We're going to move on to the Giants.
Okay.
But I really thought they were going to beat the Cowboys.
Well, we all did. I mean, that was what is so disappointing about it. If the Eagles just played a really bad game, particularly offensively, what can I tell you? It was a 3-point scoring effort. Everybody was very upset about it, and we got to move on, though, Bill. It's the nature of the beast.
31-17.
Well, I'm glad to see you think the Eagles are bouncing back, Bill.
They are.
Hey, Bill, where do you watch the game? 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, on Sunday.
We go to a little bar called Farrington's.
Okay. Eagles fans there?
Oh, yeah. There's about 12 of them.
Why don't you pull out your video camera and take some shots and send them to us.
We'd love to see it.
Everybody out there, take shots of where you are on game days. We would love to see your game day routine.
Okay.
All right?
You got it.
You send it to me. I'll give you Mark LeBlanc's personal email address.
And I'm still jealous of your War Woodrobe and Bo. He's starting to get a lot of Eagle stuff too.
Well, if you've noticed, I wear basically the same thing every day, so I don't know what you're so jealous about. I get laughed at because I wear the same pants in the office every day. I wear the same T-shirt every day in the office. I'm like the office ragamuffin. But it looks great on the air, doesn't it?
Tell the girls or the guys in the office that Bill is jealous.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Don't be jealous. All right, man. Enjoy California. This is too heavy for you guys to wear out in California anyway. You're soaking in all the sun. 215-339-6709, the number. Yeah, a plea to all Eagles fans, wherever you are on game days, you got your camera phones out, hold them up, shoot the Eagles crowd, do some Eagles chants. And then email them to us. Email to the website. What's that email address again? Webmail@PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Webteam@PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We'll put them on the air, boys, girls. Show us some fun. Love that stuff. Ray in Kentucky joins us. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Dave.
How are you, sir?
First time I got to talk to you this year.
Yeah, man. Where you been, Ray?
I've just been working.
Well,
been hanging in at work.
I hear you, man. Pen. Yes. Thank you.
What about Vic? Is Vic going to start, or is Barkley going to get called this time?
Well, they're preparing both Vic and Barkley. And they're not – I got to give – listen. Everybody, early in the week, sources say Michael Vick will start on Sunday. That's not the case yet. He's going through each day, Ray. He feels good. He feels better. He still hasn't let it loose all the way. And if he continues to make progress, Michael Vick likely to start on Sunday, but you just never know. So they're getting both Vick and Barkley ready. Nick Foles not practicing today.
Well, I mean, I was kind of impressed anyway with Mark Barkley anyways. I mean, no more time that he had to prepare for. I thought he had a pretty good day, last fourth quarter.
Yeah, hard to be impressed with what Matt Barkley did, to be honest with you. I mean, he got his feet wet and really struggled out there. I love the kid, but he didn't. He threw three interceptions on three possessions. I'm not going to tell you I was impressed by it.
Yeah, just coming straight off the bench, I thought that he done pretty good in the last, few seconds of the game. So.
Oh, well.
What about Jeremy? Jeremy Macklin, as far as how's he coming in?
Yeah, I see Jeremy around. He says he feels good. He is taking the optimistic route. Interesting situation. His contract expires after the season. What do you do next steps with Jeremy Macklin? What does he want to do? He sure would be outstanding in this offense, wouldn't he?
Yeah, because I miss him.
Yeah.
I mean, I've missed him this year, so, I'd like to see him come back.
I would love to see him come back. At the same time, I got to tell you, I am one of those people, I'm very wary of players the year after a major injury. I don't see a lot of players come back to where they were that first year back. I mean, D'Amico Ryans took him a couple of years to come back from his injury. Jason Peters has not been where he was prior to his injury. It's a tough situation to come back after a major injury. Get your timing back, get your quickness back, get your confidence back. So I would think that the Eagles will look at wide receiver very, very hard in the offseason.
Can I give a prediction?
Please do.
35-21.
All right, Ray. Thanks for calling in, man. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Good stuff. All right. When we return, the game plan piece here is the use of the 11 personnel that the Giants employ. Wide receivers everywhere on the field, and they do it very effectively.
So the Giants' favorite personnel group, Mike, is 11 personnel. One back, one tight end, three receivers. And your old receivers coach, Tom Coughlin, has got these guys kind of coached up pretty well. They're good players that really understand the roles. I mean, in this play right here, Mike, this is Victor Cruz in the slot and three receivers. He's usually the slot receiver.
Yep.
Take us through some of the route combinations we'll see here.
Well, here's the thing about Victor Cruz. He's so disciplined as a route runner. You've got to be disciplined defensively because he's going to find the open areas in the zone. You watch this route, and as he gets to the top of this route, he does such a nice job of giving this D-back a stutter at the top of the route, giving him a shake, getting rid of him, creating a lot of space, and watch him after he catches the football. You got to get him to the ground. You got to tackle him.
He's not looking to go down, Mike. He's looking to stay on his feet, make yards after the catch. He's very, very slippery. That'll be Brandon Boykin on him this game right here. And he's looking to try to get that separation. And Eli loves finding him in the middle of the field.
You know, they work so hard to double cover Victor Cruz, but he realizes where the double coverage is coming from. That's why he's able to be so effective.
Look, they find him in the middle of the field. That's the key right there, is to tackle the catch right now, Mike, because he is slippery. But on the outside, Hakeem Nicks is a big receiver, Mike, that is used to winning on the outside. And the one thing that I've noticed from your ex-coach, Tom Coughlin, is these receivers are fundamentally sound. They will come back to the football to get it.
You know, not the greatest talent on the outside, in my opinion, but you're right. They're fundamentally sound. They're going to put their foot in the ground, get back to the football, and try and make plays. Nicks with those big hands, very good at catching the football, though this year he's dropped a lot of passes.
But again, good after the catch, Mike. He comes back to the football, and that's always the toughest thing for a corner, is that once he puts that foot in the ground to make that comeback, he's going to come back to where he can catch it.
Well, and Eli on this play puts the ball in the perfect position. He comes back, he makes the catch, and gets the football up the field.
And then the third guy that the Eagles are going to have to contend with in this 11 personnel is their wide receiver, Reuben Randall. Up at the top right here on Monday night against the Vikings, going to run himself a little stutter and go, buy a little real estate here. And this was the Giants' early touchdown throw to Randall. So that'll be Kerry Williams out there this weekend, Mike. This is a route that he's going to have to get ready for.
Well, and it's pretty good coverage. You know, you got a little stutter to create that separation, and the defender is in pretty good coverage, but watch the way Randall plays the ball when it's in the air, and that's key.
I think the one thing I've seen from our defensive backs here, Mike, in recent weeks is they don't panic when the ball's in the air. Like, they're very patient right now. There's always a chance to get that ball out, to strip, to make the play, but don't panic and put your hands on the guy.
Very impressed with especially the way Bradley Fletcher plays the football when it's in the air. A lot of defensive backs, as you said, they'll panic. He's very cool under pressure.
Thank you, Baldy. Thank you, Mr. Mike Quick. Game Plan Show, tune in. 6 ABC, 1205 Saturday, 11:30 a.m. on Sunday. And, of course, you can check out all of our Eagles shows from our Eagles Television Network anytime on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Absolutely wonderful job there and on all three shows, Game Plan, Unscripted, and Inside the Season. Just must-see TV each week. When we return, hey, it's time to talk fantasy. Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com stops by and lines up your lineup for the week ahead. Coming right back on Eagles Live.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Welcome to the Fantasy Spin on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Bo Wolf. That is Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com. And Joe, after a week of carnage around the fantasy football landscape, a lot of injuries, we turn our attention to another position that has seen a lot of injuries, the Eagles quarterback position. Looks like Nick Foles is not going to be able to play this week as he continues to work back from the post-concussion protocol. Meanwhile, Michael Vick practicing with the first team as he tries to get back from that hamstring injury. Looks like right now it's a bit up in the air, but I think we hope that Michael Vick plays on Sunday. If he does, no matter how hampered he may be, is he in your starting lineup?
Well, yeah, Bo, I think he is because, first and foremost, this is one of those deep bye weeks. There are six teams on bye this week. We obviously have had more injuries. Jay Cutler, he got banged up. Sam Bradford, he obviously tore his ACL. So I think Michael Vick, if you've got him, if you've been stashing him, or maybe you got lucky and he was out there on the waiver wire, somebody thought Nick Foles was going to take the full-time starting job, he's somebody to pick up and probably start him this week because I know the Eagles had a bad offensive performance last week, but this is still an offense I believe in, still an offense that I think is going to put up a ton of yards. It's still the third best offense in football in terms of total yards, and I want the quarterback of that team on my fantasy roster, no doubt about it. And if it's Michael Vick, then he's the guy I want.
One of the bigger injuries of the week around the league was the one to Doug Martin, big shoulder injury. Reports that he may be out for the season. Mike James is the rookie who gets the carries in his stead. Martin's had a bit of a down year, but he's going to get a lot of touches, whoever is the running back.
Yeah,
there.
And I think it is going to be Mike James, Bo. And Mike James is a sixth-round rookie running back. He's a guy who does kind of the same things that Doug Martin does. He's built low to the ground. He's stout. He can catch the football. He has soft hands. So I really like what Mike James does in terms of being a handcuff. The thing I don't like is that the Buccaneer run game has been terrible all season. Not for Doug Martin's fault, but because their offensive line, especially along the interior, has struggled. Carl Nix had the Mercer situation, and David Joseph, the right guard, has been very poor this year. So I'm just wondering if Mike James has a lot of upside outside of being a flex. The one thing that I think he might benefit from is the fact that Mike Glennon, the quarterback, has been developing a rapport with Vincent Jackson. Teams might not be stacking the box against the run as much against Mike James as they did against Doug Martin, and if that's the case, then I think James could benefit a little bit statistically.
Jimmy Graham carried some fantasy teams throughout the early part of the season, but he's still sort of an injury question mark right now. Where else are you looking around the tight end position for spot-to-spot starters?
Well, I think there's a couple places you can go. First and foremost, you can go to Ben Watson, the same tight end. He's a guy who's had some fantasy relevance on the fringe the last couple years when he was with Cleveland. I think he can step in and make some plays if Jimmy Graham's out. But there's also two places I think you can look if you need a fantasy tight end. Number one, Tim Wright, the tight end of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He had a big game against the Eagles a couple weeks ago. He's playing against the Carolina Panthers in the Thursday night game this week. He's somebody who I think you can plug in against a team that doesn't have great safety play. And another guy, if you look at Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs, Anthony Fasano just got off of injury. I think Fasano is a guy who really jives well with Alex Smith's skill set, those short to intermediate dump-off passes. And Fasano has always been a guy who can make his hay in the red zone. So if you lose Jimmy Graham, you might not be carrying a second tight end without Graham. I think he's a guy that Fasano is somebody you can get in there. Maybe he has a chance to score a touchdown this week. And I think that's what you look for if you're just going to be plugging and playing a tight end.
Off camera, we were talking a little bit about how impressive Andrew Luck has been this season. I think we both expect that the Colts offense is going to move forward without Reggie Wayne. But from a fantasy perspective, where are you looking for the points to be picked up in Wayne's absence?
I'm not really sure if points are going to be picked up. That's the problem. Actually, we have a trade article on fantasyguru.com. We said Andrew Luck might be a guy to try to sell high right now. Not because I don't believe in Andrew Luck, but because I'm not sure I believe in this offense. He's been struggling with T.Y. Hilton. He's been struggling to get on the same page as him. Darius Hayward Bay's been dropping a ton of passes. I think Kobe Fleener really needs to step up, and the Colts simply have to find a way to get this run game going. Trent Richardson has struggled this year, but the offensive line isn't doing him any favors. I think the Indianapolis Colts might start to play a little bit more ball control football, but I hope they do put the ball in Andrew Luck's hands. Let him become a quarterback who makes the receivers around him playmakers, not the other way around, the way Aaron Rodgers does in Green Bay.
The vast knowledge of Joe Dolan of fantasyguru.com. Follow him on Twitter at @FG_Dolan and listen to him on your satellite radio, Sirius 210 XM87.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
The lead over the middle.
Tripped up at the 40. Nice pass and a big first down for the Spartans. Nice job. Rush by Lord.
dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most hype sports, Xfinity.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
All right, we take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. After the Giants game, the Eagles on the road for a couple of games at Oakland and then at the Green Bay Packers. Back home with the Redskins and then the bye week before the Eagles finish up with two home games and then at Minnesota, home with Chicago, at the Dallas Cowboys to finish up the season. All right, let's get to the telephones here and head out to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and talk to Nicholas, who joins us on the line. Nicholas. Hello, Nicholas.
Yes, David, how are you?
Hello, hello, how are you?
Good, thanks for everything you guys do.
Thanks, man, thanks for being a fan.
Hey, I was just going to call and ask you what your thoughts are on what the offensive line has been doing. To me, I've been a little disappointed. I mean, no matter if Vic or Foles are in there, I know defensive has to plan a little differently, but they got to protect the quarterback a little
bit
better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back to the results, and the results say that the Eagles have moved the football very, very well, with the exception of this Dallas game. The Dallas game was a setback, I thought, for the Eagles and what they were trying to do offensively in every phase, and it wasn't just Nick Foles. It was the whole offense, and that includes the Eagles' offensive line. So I thought, you know, it was a series of games that the Cowboys ran, and the Eagles' O-line didn't play very well. So I'm disappointed from that performance. Otherwise, I thought they played pretty well this year, Nicholas. I do think that there's more to get to with this offensive line. I do expect it to be a dominant offensive line. At times, it has been dominant. Other times, not quite as much as I thought. So I'd give it a B. How about that?
Yeah, okay. I'd like to get my prediction in.
Please do.
Giants 10, Eagles 27. I'll go with the date. It's my dad's birthday.
Happy birthday to Nicholas's dad. Nicholas, thanks for calling in from Santa Fe. How many Eagles fans in Santa Fe, New Mexico?
Not a whole lot.
Well, thank you for representing, my man.
No doubt.
You got it. Thanks. All right, we've got some conference calls to get to here. Eagles got a big chore talking about the offensive line. That Giants defensive front capable of dominating a game. No one more so than Justin Tuck, who had his conference call with the Philadelphia area reporters.
I think it's less effective, obviously, because he's not a quarterback that can run a 4-3 or 4-4 like Vic is. And, Coles isn't, he's not going to look to run as much. And they did some other things to get their points and get their yardage with Nick in the game. So, you worked all week to prepare for a Vic, and you get that change up, and it kind of throws you for a loop for a little while, and we just didn't do a good job of adjusting to, what Foles presented, what obstacles Foles presented. I think it's very tough just because you rarely have a scout team quarterback that can simulate the things that you're going to see on Sunday. But with Vic, obviously, we all know that he's very tough. He's been, I think one of the reasons why he's had so many injuries is because he's a tough guy that's going to try to get that extra yard and try to do the extra thing to help his football team win. And, sometimes that has backfired against him. But, we expect him to come out and be the Mike Vic of old. And I know he always enjoys playing us and, vice versa. So, he's just got to have a good week of preparation. And, hopefully we can get another good look out of our scout team this week to kind of simulate what we're going to see. We know Philly is going to try to come out and establish the run game and get, Shady to running, east and west, not east and west, but north and south. And, like I said, he's one of the more dangerous backs in the league. And it's going to be hard to duplicate what we was able to do up here, but, you know, that's going to be one of our goals. For me, man, it's different, I guess, because as a defensive player, you like playing in loud stadiums. So I think, you know, for me, playing in the Link is fun. You know the reputation of the Philly fans and how they're gonna give you everything they got. And so, I love playing down there. I love playing in front of rowdy crowds, and obviously, you know, the Link is one of the best ones when it comes to that.
Our Giants coach, Tom Coughlin, trying to keep his team in the win column for a second consecutive game. He also meets with Philadelphia reporters. Still some injury situations to deal with for the Giants, but Tom's been down here plenty of times. A former Eagles coach, he knows what to expect on Sunday.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, you always start from scratch no matter what. You know, 2 weeks ago, fine, but we've had, you know, the games prior to our first game are all included. So, you know, you're still scrambling around. You know, obviously looking hard at your game and the two that followed to try to see if there's any changes, any trend changes. And basically the only thing you deal with is the personnel issues. And so, I mean, it's as you know, if you play a Monday night game, it's a short week anyway. Well, we expect that Michael Vick will play, and, you know, that's how we'll prepare. But we do have tape certainly on Foles, and of course, at the end of the ball game the other day, we have tape as well. So, you know, we have a little bit of knowledge about everybody, but we're in the same boat that a lot of you are. But we do have to, you know, draw some conclusions and move ahead. So the starter beginning of the season until injured in our game was Michael Vick, and Michael we're expecting would play. I'm sure that's perhaps on his mind, but you know we try to not put him in those kind of circumstances. I know that people that are familiar with the situation know that there's no doubt that he felt like he had to do more, or that he would be in a position where he had to make something happen. You know, the other night it went well for us in that, you know, we were playing well on defense and doing a good job in that regard. And we had taken the first drive, you know, some nine minutes or 9.5 minutes and before the opponent even got the ball. So that's what you'd like to have happen. And Eli did a great job of, you know, maneuvering us down the field, making the checks that he needed to, making the plays when he had to get us the first down. So that's the way we're familiar with playing, and I hope that would continue.
And that is Tom Coughlin meeting with Philadelphia's reporters yesterday. Now, the Eagles head coach, Chip Kelly, speaking with reporters this morning, his final press address of the week. Michael Vick, will he go, will he not? What are the Eagles doing at quarterback? How do the Eagles get back in the win column? All of those topics that Kelly addressed.
In our first game with them, their front did a really good job. They've got a couple really big defensive tackles, and they rotate. You know, they got a couple guys in there that can play, and Rodgers, and now you add Joseph to the mix. Patterson had a really good game against us. Cullen Jenkins, another really good player inside. Two defensive ends that kind of post the play, and JPP and Tuck, and then their linebackers are very active. They get off of blocks very well, you know, can shed blocks and then run to the ball carrier. So there's a group of guys that play in the box room, you know, Beeson and Pasinger at linebacker, and those defensive linemen that I mentioned that are good football players. So, you know, it's a matter of, it's not really a scheme deal. I think it's a matter of who executes better, you know, whether it be our guys matched up specifically on guys and who can win that one-on-one battle. And that's what this is going to come down to, one-on-one battles across the front in the run game. Nick was here today, worked out with the trainers. He will not practice today. We'll see if he's got to go through a protocol in terms of do that. But he's back, was at our morning session today, and then did some conditioning stuff with our trainers. But until he can get fully cleared, we can't get him out on the practice field.
Has he taken the impact test yet?
Not that I know of. Mike had a good day yesterday running around. But again, it's how do you respond the next day? I know we lifted this morning, so you know, I'll check with our strength and conditioning coaches. What was he like in the lifting session? You know, do we have any pain? Where are we from that standpoint? So,
for quarterback, where do you rank confidence?
How many attributes do I have?
As many as you
want. I would, out of 100, I would rate it 7th. I just answered your question. Next question. No, I mean, confidence is up there with any athlete. I think it's a big deal, you know, and I think that's one of the things. As you see, I mean, I think our defense is a prime example. Is I think they're playing more confidently now than they did earlier in the year, and that's what shows. I mean, I think part of it is just an understanding, and your preparation is what leads to confidence. It's not false confidence. It's really confidence based on demonstrated ability that you have proven to yourself that you can do this over and over and over again, and therefore you're confident that you can go out there. You know, I've met some guys that are extremely confident, but that doesn't mean that they're very productive players either. You know, I think there's a fine line, you know, and I think it is an attribute, but I think there's a lot of other attributes. I mean, you could be the most confident guy in the world, but you're not going to go out there and throw a football in front of 70,000 people. That's a different deal. I mean, I think it's really based on, I think, for those guys, having a real good understanding of what your ability is and what you can do and what you can't do. Eli's one of the top quarterbacks in this league, you know, every time you have a chance to face him, it's a challenge just because he's so smart, he's so intelligent, he's going to get the ball out to the right people. But playing quarterback, playing any position, is a lot of it's what's around him. You know, and I know a lot of times he's had some guys up front been banged up, and, you know, sometimes he hasn't had a chance to, you know, get to the top of his drop and throw the ball. They protected him a lot better in the Vikings game. I thought he played really well in the Bears game. So, but we expect a huge challenge whenever you face Eli.
All right, well done, Chip. Make sure you stay with us here. Michael Vick meets the media at about 1:45 once practice is over. Let's see where Michael is with his health, how he feels. Is he on track to go on Sunday against the Giants? He's live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and on our mobile app at about 1:45, we're predicting. So make sure you're with us then. Also, stay tuned for our game coverage. It begins at 11 o'clock, the Eagles Television Network lineup of shows. And then it's our kickoff show beginning at 12:30 that morphs into the halftime report and, of course, the postgame show presented by Rico. I'm joined by Adam Kaplan and Jeremiah Trotter after the Eagles beat the Giants. We thank you for joining us. Stay with us throughout the day. Updates throughout, as always. Once again, have yourselves a great Eagles day.